Thanks for taking the time to listen to this weekly sermon from Southside Baptist Church in Florence, South Carolina. Our vision is to know Him and to make Him known. Please visit our website at southsidenow.church so you can find out more about how we are helping make and grow disciples in the Florence area. For now, sit back and take in today's message from God's Word.
In your Bibles, Luke chapter 6, Luke chapter 6. You're all going to be staring at this the whole entire time, aren't you, of the Krispy Kreme donuts that are up here. I know my wife won't hear anything else I say the rest of this sermon, but so I'm going to turn it this way now. I thought it was a good illustration about how much God gives us and how what He asks in return. And so in Luke chapter 6, verse 38, it says, "Give and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more running over. Poured into your lap, the amount you give will determine the amount you get back." It's pressed down, shaken together. When they would go and take their bags of grain, that's exactly what they would do. They would press down, they would shake it to get as much as possible in that bag. Give and will be given unto you. Let's pray. Father, we just come before you thanking you for your love and your mercy for us. And God, that you've called us. You've called us to be faithful to your word, faithful in giving of our time, faithful in our finances, Lord, and how we handle them. We're called to be good stewards of all in which you have given us. And may we realize and may we remember this morning that everything that we have, it's not ours, it's yours. The earth is the Lord's. And the fullness thereof. It's all yours. And so, God, may we be good stewards of what in which you have given. We love you, we praise you. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. There were two men shipwrecked on an island. The minute they got on the island, one of them started screaming, "We're gonna die, we're gonna die." And the other men said, the man continued on, "There's no food, there's no water, we're going to die." And the second man was propped up against a palm tree and was acting so calmly it drove the first man crazy. "Don't you understand? We're going to die." The second man looked at him quite dumbfounded and asked, "What difference does it make? We're on an island, no food, no water, we're going to die." And the man, still leaning up against the tree, goes, "It's not that big of a deal. We're going to be fine. We will be found." And he said, "We have no water, we're going to die." The second man said, "You don't get it. I make $100,000 a week. I tithe 10% of the $100,000 each week to my church. I give $10,000 each week to my church." The first man, still dumbfounded, said, "I don't understand. We have no food. We have no water." The second man continued, said, "Listen, relax. I tithe $10,000 a week to my church. Believe me, my pastor will find me. He will find me." Listen. Stewardship isn't about getting you to give so you'll be blessed. It's about giving so you will be blessed. Stewardship isn't about giving money necessarily. It's about giving your time, your talent. And for example, you know, maybe you give 10, 20, maybe you even give more than that percent of your income and a tithe and an offering, but you're a bad steward of your time, you have a problem. You could be in church every service all year and still be a bad steward of the talent in which God has given you. You can serve in every ministry and still be a poor steward of your finances. A very common misunderstanding, and it's simply not biblical. It's not biblical. A misunderstanding is, "I give my time, therefore I don't need to give my tithe." Or maybe in your mind, "I give my tithe, but I don't need to serve in any capacity." Both are equally incorrect. Both are equally unbiblical. See, stewardship is about caring for which belongs to another. And every blessing of God, gift of God, we ought to show proper stewardship of. But before Christians can practice good financial stewardship, they must know God's financial program. Some know it and don't practice it. Some, maybe you're here this morning and it's new to you. It's new to you and you truly don't know. Well, this is one of the reasons for this message here this morning. Now, also, if you're new here, it's not often I preach on tithing or on giving. It's not a hobby horse of mine. It's not something I bring up every single week. And quite frankly, there's sometimes it's much easier as a pastor. Like, well, when you get talking about people's children or finances or money, people get uptight real quick. They're like, okay, I knew I should have skipped church this morning. I knew I should have not come. This is a message for you and a message for me. It's about God's faithfulness. It's about what God wants to do through his church and God's program and his setup to finance the church so it can be sent, so it can go. And so the foundation of Christian giving, it is the tithe. You see, tithing is fair. 10% for everybody. It's an equal sacrifice for regardless of what you make. It's honest. It all belongs to the Lord. It's blessed. It will, as we'll see here in just a moment in Malachi, God has promised that in one place of Scripture, one place, he says, test me on this. If I will not open you to the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. It's also the beginning. You see, the tithe is 10%. It's the least amount. It's a starting point for you and for me. So what I want to do here this morning, I want us to dig into the Word. Now, I got Bible verses up here for you, but I want us to dig into the Word. So if whether it's on your tablet or on your Bible or whatever you have, get ready to turn a little bit. You can write these down. But this is the first one I want us to look at. What the Bible says about Christian giving is this, is Abraham, he started it. He started it. This is what it says. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine, and he was a priest of God Most High. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abraham of God Most High, possessor, come on, gentlemen, of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand. And he gave him a tenth of all. The first time we see the tithe given is with Father Abraham. Father Abraham, who had many sons. You all know that song, yep. That was him. He starts off in the Old Testament giving us an example. And it says he gave tithes to all. And it continues in Genesis 28. Jacob continued. So Abraham started. Jacob continued it. And this is what it says. It says, then Jacob made a vow saying, if God will be with me and keep me in this way that I am going and give me the bread to eat and clothing to put on so that I come back to my father's house in peace and the Lord shall be my God. And this stone which I have set as a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that you gave me, I will surely give a tenth to you. So we see before the law is even given, we see two patriarchs of the faith giving a tenth of all in which they had. They're presenting us an example many hundreds and hundreds of years before. Then we see in Leviticus 27, Moses, he incorporated it. He incorporated it. It says, and the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy to the Lord. You see, one of the reasons we see the tithing, especially in the law, was this. It was God's way of taking care of one. They gave 10% so they could support the priest. Then they also gave in the Old Testament. It wasn't just 10%. It was 10% to support the priest, and then it was 10% to support the temple and the feast and the different celebrations in which they had. And then they had a system set up because there were people who were either could not work for whatever reason. And they actually, so when you end up totaling all those together in which they gave, it was kind of God's setup, God's way. Some would even kind of say it's kind of similar to our system today of our taxes. Overall, there in the Old Testament, and according to the law, they gave 23.3% of their income, of all that God had done for them, to support the work of the ministry, to support the feast, to support those who were poor and were unable to work. God had a system. But listen, we have a God that has a plan. Amen? We don't have a God that just says, well, just y'all just figure it out how you want. No, God had a plan. And he gave Moses a way to go about it. And so we see here that Moses, he incorporated it. He brought it. Then in Malachi commanded it. Malachi commanded. Turn with me over to Malachi 3. We're going to be here a little bit. But Malachi 3, he commanded it. And kind of with this background of what we see here with Moses incorporating it, with giving 10% to support the priests, with the 10% going to the temple and the feast, and then also supporting the poor. What was happening with the nation of Israel is they decided to not obey which the law had been given to them. They decided not to obey the example that had been set by Abraham and Jacob. They decided to do their own thing. Also in the law, we would see this. We would see this, that God did not want the runt of the sheep. He did not want the one that was not the best. He asked them to bring their best. To bring their best. Because God deserves our best, amen? He deserves that. And so he asked them to bring, but here in Malachi, they were not. They were disobeying the Lord. And we'll start in verse 8. So this is kind of what is going on. It says, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even the whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now on this. Now listen, if you have a pen and you mark in your Bible, underline, and try me now on this, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out such a blessing that there will not be enough room to receive it, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. Listen, we are told clearly in Scripture, do not tempt the Lord. Don't tempt him. But there's one place in which God says, test me. Try me in this area. And it's here in Malachi. We're going to come back to Malachi, so keep this, keep your finger there if you would. So we see Malachi, he commanded it. Then in Matthew 23, and we also see this in the book of Luke, Jesus commends it. Jesus commends it. Some folks argue against the tithe, claiming it's only the Old Testament command, or it's just in the law. But looking to the New Testament, we find that Jesus affirms the tithe. Some Pharisees were bragging about their tithe, and Jesus explained that they should not only tithe, but also but not neglect other important matters. This is what he said. What sorrow awaits you teachers of religious law and you Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are careful to tithe even the tiniest income from your herb gardens, but you ignore the more important aspects of the law, justice, mercy, faith. You should tithe, yes, but do not neglect the more important things. What is Jesus saying here? He's looking at these Pharisees. He's looking at these religious leaders. On the outside, they had it all looking good in their religious garb. On the outside, they did all the correct things, right? The outward appearance looked great. But God looks upon the what? He looks upon the heart, doesn't he? And Jesus is saying, yeah, you all are tithing, you're giving. I mean, you're like strict right down to the herb gardens. I mean, herb gardens. Who does that? But they did. I mean, they had it down. I mean, they had it down to a pat. But Jesus said, your heart is far from the Lord. Your heart is far from the Lord. You are being hypocritical about it. You need to be worrying about justice, mercy, faith. Yes, tithe. He affirmed it. Don't neglect the more important things. Listen, if you're here and you tithe, wonderful. But if you're not praying for people like you should, if you're not concerned about justice, mercy, and faith, and loving people and reaching people for Jesus, listen. Yes, you should tithe, but you are missing out on God. God is looking at your heart. He wants to see that he has your heart. Does he? I hope that he does. I hope that he does. You see, we also see that God ordained it. He ordained it. Don't you realize that those who work in the temple get their meals from the offering brought to the temple? And those who serve at the altar get a share of the sacrificial offerings. In the same way, the Lord ordered that those who preach the good news should be supported by those who benefit from it. It's God's program. It's His setup. And then Paul, he explained it in 1 Corinthians. He says, now regarding your question, so the church at Corinth had wrote Paul and said, hey, we have some questions. We don't know what those questions exactly are, but we get an idea by the way Paul answers them. He says, now regarding your question about money being collected for God's people in Jerusalem, you should follow the same procedure I gave to the churches in Galatia. So other churches were told the same thing. On the first day of the week, which is Sunday, you should put aside a portion of your money you have earned. Don't wait until I get there and then try to collect it all at once. We see Paul explaining it. When should it be done? At the church. When? On Sunday, in the beginning. And so he's explaining it to them. Just as God has prospered him, give. So what does it mean? The word tithe itself means this. It means 10% of our salary, of our increase, of our house profit or bonus or whatever it may be, to finance the advancement of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is not an offering. An offering is separate from the tithe. An offering is anything above the 10% in which we give. So what would be an offering exactly? If you support and you give towards the building fund, that would be an offering. If you decide, well, I'm going to make a donation to the youth or the children's ministry or Awana, that's an offering. Or the Fresh Vision, that's an offering. It's up and above your tithe, your 10%. You see, the tithe is foundational. It's a starting place of Christian giving. Nowhere will you find in Scripture where they stopped giving less than 10% of their tithe. You don't see it. If anything, when you read the New Testament and you read what they end up doing in Acts 2, I mean, it was just them almost versus the world, so to speak. What were they doing? Many were selling their land. They were selling things they owned, and they were bringing it together to support the poor and support one another. Many gave everything. Remember Ananias and Sapphira? What happened to them? They end up dying, not because they gave to the church. They sold their land and they decided, well, we're going to tell the church, we're going to tell Peter, the apostle, that we're giving it all to the church, but in reality, we're going to keep a portion of it back. Now, there was nothing wrong with them going to Peter and saying, okay, we sold it for $100,000, but we're going to keep $50,000 and we're going to give $50,000 to the church. Would have been nothing wrong with that, in which they, if they wanted to do that. But that's not what they did. That's not what they did. And the Holy Spirit spoke through Peter and said, why are you lying? And what happened? Ananias, he fell over. I mean, he was lying in God's house. And then later on, as they took his body out, Sapphira came in, asked her the same thing, and she lied as well. Listen, my point being this here for us is that you can't read through the New Testament and go, God has lowered his standard for giving. You can't. I should just give 1 or 2% of my income. Not in there. Not in there. Now, I, for those who are new and maybe you don't understand always how church works, sometimes different churches do different things. We have folks that count our money. We have at least always two. I do not count anything here, all right? Sometimes people give... sometimes miss the offering. I put it right in that donation box. I try to push them, go put it in the donation box. I don't like that look of, well, I missed the offering and I'll give the preacher the check. And I understand that, and they're doing it innocently, but I try to, hey, I want everything. I don't write checks. I don't do any of that. I don't count it. If you give more this week, I don't get a pay raise because of more. No, that's set by our finance team, and I don't do any of that. And I learned a long time ago, and my dad drilled this in my mind. Listen, if you're at a church where you got to count the money, you better get someone else to be counting it because you don't need to be doing it. Why? Because you always need accountability in churches. And the way we handle our finances here is we know where every dollar is going. We try to be good stewards of which God has given. And God has given us a beautiful facility. He's given us very much. He's given us a lot of different ministries to take care of. And so it's our responsibility together as a body and membership of believers. One of the things that we go through in our Next Steps class, and which we'll have right after this service, if you didn't sign up, can you join us? Absolutely. We'll be right over here in room F110. One of the things that we go through is about tithing. Probably a little bit less today because they're already getting this message today, right? But the point being is, like, listen, here at our church, God expects you as a member, okay, to be tithing. Amen? I mean, he expects that. He expects you and I to be tithe. I tithe here at this church. I'm just saying this as, not to brag, I'm saying this as your pastor, as part of the example here and part of the leadership. Like, my job is to tithe and to give above my tithe and offerings. And my wife and I, we do that and have for a long time. And I'll say this, you know, here at our leadership, they need to be tithing. Amen? If you're in leadership here, if you're on staff here, you need to be tithing. That always hasn't been the case, but that will be the case because we are in leadership. We are God's people. And when you're in leadership, you need to be following the Lord. It's part of your responsibility. It's part of what God has called you to do. And so that's what he's calling us to simple obedience. Listen, if you can trust God with your salvation, you should be able to trust him with your salary. Now, I'll speak here in just a moment. There's some of you are in a tangled web of mess in your finances. And you're like, preacher, I want to give, but my life is a mess in my finances. I want you to know a couple things, okay? One, I'm praying for you. I really am. And I know there are some folks that way here. And as a church, and I've been in the ministry for 15 years, and one of the best things that I've seen out there, I've been through it, I've taught it, we have it here at the church on Sunday nights, but it's Financial Peace University. If you want help, if you want to help your marriage, amen? If you want to help your finances, if you want to help your kids' future, get into Financial Peace University. It will change your life. Those who have been in it, say amen. Amen. See, there's folks who have been through it. I've been through it. It was an eye-opener for me. I think the first time I took it, I was 27. And I'm like, whoa, why didn't someone teach me this stuff? And it was an eye-opener. And so we want to help you. We want to help you. And so if you want to get in that, we've already started. I think we're in week two. But if you want to get in that, it's not too late. You come see me. You come see me. If you know Jason Thompson, go see Jason Thompson. We will help you out. We are here to help you. Okay? And I feel for you. And with God's help, you can get out of that. Dave Ramsey's funny. He's biblical. He knows where you've been before. He tells a story about in the 80s when the housing market crashed and how he lost everything. He and his wife almost got divorced. I mean, it was bad. He had been there. He'd been in your shoes before. Go listen to him. It'll be a blessing to you. So, folks, this morning, I'm not here just to preach at you. I'm here to help you. That's where you're at. I'm here to help you. We're here to lend a hand because that's part of what we're here to do. Amen. I also want to challenge you too. Maybe you've never faithfully given. I want to encourage you to take the 90-day tithe challenge for 90 days to give to the Lord, to give and make that step of faith. Now, here's the next point. Don't miss this, all right? What's the purpose? What's the purpose? Okay, preacher, I hear what you say. It's in the Bible. We're supposed to do that. I get. But what's the purpose? Here's the number one purpose. Listen, don't miss this. It rearranges your life around God. Now, some of you right now, you're hearing the 10%, and it's a little bit of a freak out. You're like, you don't understand, preacher. I'm going to have to rearrange my life. It's going to take some time because of this mess I'm in. I'm going to have to rearrange things in my life. Yes, that's the point. That's the point. God wants you to rearrange your finances. He wants you to rearrange your life around him. Because guess what? It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about Jesus. It's about him. You get to rearrange your life around God. Every day we sacrifice something to honor God with our tithe reminds us that we're putting God first in our lives, even in our finances. Tithing forces us to have faith, and we get to be faithful in our giving. I remember my wife and I, we were married about 2 years, man, and things were rough. Our marriage was rough. Our finances were rough. We had, you know, our daughter was about, I don't know how old she was, 8 months maybe. It was, man, it was hard. And I went without a job for about 3 months. And we had been tithing. We'd been giving. And I'm like, God, I don't know what you're doing in our lives. I don't know what's going on. And maybe you've been in that position before. You're like, God, I've heard the stories. I've heard about your faithfulness. I've heard, but God, I'm now in that situation of where I need you to come through because it's not good. I need you to come through, God, because right now things are not good. And I'll tell you this, that 3 months did more to build and strengthen my faith. Than any other time in my life. I saw God be faithful in some ways that I didn't expect. And during that same rough time when things were just really, they were dark. And then my grandfather dying at the same time. But unexpectedly, through a couple different people and being too prideful to ask for help, God showed himself to be faithful and true. And through the death, not the main way, but just at the right time, my grandmother gave all the grandchildren money from some of the life insurance. And it was the perfect timing for us. And that time was a time in my life I saw the principle of Malachi 3. And I saw the faithfulness of God. I saw his faithfulness. And it strengthened my faith. And I'm here to tell you, as someone who has been in your shoes before, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways he will direct your paths. It's true. It may not always feel like it's true. It may not always feel like it's true. And there's nothing wrong with the feelings in which God has given us, but too much of our finances are based upon our feelings, and we end up making choices that we regret later. Amen? Because our feelings are indicators, but they're not called to be dictators, folks. And too much of our lives are around it being an indicator instead of too much of a dictator rather than an indicator. Listen, get into his word. Get into FPU. Get some help. That's what church is about. It's about brothers and sisters in Christ who aren't here to judge you. They're here to love you. They're here to help you. And if you have a judgmental spirit in you, then come down here to the altar and get it right, because that's not what church is about. And there's a lot of people who have been hurt because they don't. Man, they've shared something, and we have some loving people here at Southside that want to love on you, that will put their arm around you, who are here to help you in your time of need. Here's the other reason. So the first reason of the purpose behind it is to rearrange your life around God. Listen, how much longer are you going to do things your own way on your own? Has it really worked out? It hasn't. If you were truthful, it hasn't worked out for you. So no, why not do it God's way? Do it his way. I'm not saying it's going to be easy. I'm not saying it's going to be great at first. But you'll see his faithfulness. You'll see his faithfulness. This is what also it does. It helps finance the gospel. God has designed a wonderful plan to finance the spread of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is God's will that all people should hear the truth of the gospel, for churches to be built, for orphanages, for folks who are going to reach there in Romania. I mean, it is God's will through the church. God's answer for the world is the church who has the gospel to give. And listen, it's to finance the gospel. It's to finance what we're able to do here. reach people for Jesus. We do that through our tithes and our offerings. Here's a third one. I've already kind of mentioned this, but it helps build your faith. Helps build your faith. Notice it's 2 Corinthians 9, if you guys bring that up. Remember this. A farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop. But the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide in your heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. And God will provide generously all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. As the scriptures say, they share freely and give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. For God, who is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat, in the same way, he will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Let me ask you, what are you planting? Back it up to the first slide on that first. I want to show a couple things here. There you go. What are you planting? What are you expecting? If you're planting little, then you're going to get little. But those who are generous will always have an abundance. One thing Dave Ramsey does that always stuck out to me was he had a this wad of hundreds. I didn't have hundreds, so I'll just pretend, right? And what he had was this money. He had it closed in his fist. And he said, with a closed fist, you can neither give, but you also cannot receive. Everything God has given us, whether you realize it or not, he's put into our hand. It's his to be stewards of. So instead of clenching your fist, keep it open to give. But keep it open also so you can be blessed. God wants to bless you. He wants to build your faith. By every Christian giving at least one-tenth, God's financial program could be carried out. God teaches us that our giving ought to be done on Sunday, the first day of the week. Tithing is a scriptural way of giving to God. Every offering is a free will offering because no one is forced to give. No one's forcing you to give. And so what we see here is we see in Scripture 10% is the basis for us. And then we must decide in which what God is wanting us to give over that 10% as an offering. Do we do it reluctantly? God loves a cheerful giver. He loves it when we give cheerfully. It's a part of our worship. Listen, maybe you never thought about giving that way. When one of our deacons comes up and prays over the offering in which we're about to partake, it's a time of worship. It's a time of worship. It's a time that we bring it and we give it to the Lord. It also does this for us. It places us in position to be blessed of God. It also helps the poor. That's part of what we're called to do. Give and to give unto them. It helps people within our congregation that sometimes they really need help. So it also does this. It proves God's promises. Why shouldn't we give our tithes to the Lord? It is God who's given us our health. He's given us our jobs. He's given everything that we have. It's all his. He's given it all to us. If he decides to make you a millionaire, then praise God. But if not, that's okay as well. Praise him. He's given it all to you. See, when we learn to tithe, we can begin to give an offering, which is up above our tithe. Now, you've heard this before. I've seen this on Facebook, which is kind of disturbing a little bit, but you'll see, money is the root of all evil. No, it's not. Nowhere in Scripture does it say that money is the root of all evil. It says the love of money is the root of all evil. Where's your love at? Where's your love at? If you truly love the Lord, if you truly want to have your faith in him, if your salvation is in him, then your desire, your want to, is to obey him in all aspects. Tithing is really about simple obedience, to obey or not to obey. Here's some of the blessings of good stewardship. Turn with me to Malachi. I told you we're going to go back and then we'll be done. Malachi 3. When I'm honest with God and tithes and offerings, this is what we see. There is peace with God. There's peace with Him. There's peace with the Lord. Notice with me in verse 9. It says in 8, will a man rob God? You have robbed me, but you say, where will we rob you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, and you have robbed me, even the whole nation. Listen, if someone's robbing you every week, that would cause a little friction. Amen? It's going to cause a little friction. If you want peace with God, that's what it brings. Good stewardship brings peace with God. It also brings a provision of abundance. Notice with me, verse 10, bring all the tithes to the storehouse. The temple had an area in which they would collect, a room in which they would collect. Of course, there is no temple today. The modern-day storehouse is the church. And so we bring it to the church for the work of the ministry, that there may be food in my house. Now try me on this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out such a blessing, there won't be enough room to receive it. Sometimes that's financial blessing. Sometimes that's health. Looking at your grandchildren and the heritage in which God has given you, you can't help but to be blessed. To look at the home in which God has given you, to look at the cars in which God has given you, the job and what you enjoy doing and enjoying life. Listen, there's so many blessings in which God has given us. It's a provision of abundance. It's also a promise of protection. Maybe you never thought about that way. Notice verse 11, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the land, says the Lord of hosts. And all the nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. Now, he's saying this to the nation of Israel. I get that. But how much unnecessary trouble do we have in our life because we simply are not being obedient to the Lord in our tithes and our offerings? Listen, folks, we have some wonderful, great ministries here. And that we need to support. And I'll tell you straight up, we have a finance meeting here in a couple weeks. We'll have our finance meeting, and we may have some things that we may have some tough choices to make if our tithes and offerings do not go up. I don't like saying that. I hate to say that and to worry you, but I'm just being straight up with you. There's some things that will need to change if that's the case. And so I pray and I hope that we don't have to make some of those tough decisions. So I'm asking for you to be obedient to the Lord in that area. Now, if you're new here with us, and we're glad that you're here, and of course you're welcome to give, but I'm really talking to membership here this morning. Members, it's part of your responsibility of being part of this body, part of Southside, to be givers, to be giving. But here ultimately what giving does for us in tithing. It gives us it puts material things in their proper spot. It says a proper understanding of material things. And how true that is. Listen, we all like things, and there's nothing wrong with things. There's things that we have that are very nice, and there's nothing wrong with enjoying some of those things. But the main thing is this: do our things have us? And in America, if there's an issue that we have, is that there's so many of our things have us. We live to shop. We live for our things. Nothing wrong with enjoying those things. But are they in their proper order? And I pray that they are. I'll end with this. One day was a man. He was lost in the desert without water. He saw an old shack, and he was dying of thirst, and he knew he didn't have much longer, so he painfully made his way back to the shack. Inside the shack was a little jar of crystal clear water set on the floor next to the pump. Flooded with relief, he walked over to the jar and to quench his overbearing thirst. And as he reached down to pick up the jar of water, he noticed a sign. And it said, use this water to prime the pump out back. And when you're satisfied, refill it and leave it for the next person who will pass this way. And he found himself on the horns of a dilemma because he was so thirsty. What if he followed the directions on the sign and there was no water in the well? He had to make a decision to either serve himself now or invest and take the chance that deep down there was so much more. And giving is a method of priming God's pump, of priming God's blessing in the life of a believer. Listen, folks, we have a choice. You can take a little that God has given you now, consume it for yourself, or you can use it to prime for something that's got so much more. It all boils down to whether you believe there's something underneath the ground. Let's pray. Father, we come before you, and I'm thankful.
Thank you for listening to today's sermon. To find out more about Southside Baptist and our ministry, visit our website at southsidenow.church. Until we meet again, have a great week.